Hey everyone, I'm interrupting this episode because I want to tell you about a free masterclass that I'm hosting. I'm constantly hearing from motion designers and studio owners that they just don't have the time to work on their businesses. And I get it, it's hard to wear all the hats in your business and stay on top of everything. When the project ends, do you find yourself scrambling for the next gig on LinkedIn or sending a ton of cold emails? This just isn't sustainable in the long run. I found that building systems and processes in my business to free up my time was the best way to grow a business and have more time to do the things that I love. It's not easy, but I want to share with you what I've learned over the past few years and also what I've been teaching my students in my courses. So I'm hosting a free masterclass on the 21st of May for freelance motion designers and studio owners who are looking for more balance. After Balance Business Masterclass, you're going to walk away with a system to help you save time, make more money, and work on fun and creative projects. Of course, I'll also be doing a live Q&A to answer any questions that you have. And I'm going to invite just 20 people to work with me inside my coaching program, Balance Business Bootcamp. This won't open again until later this year. So if you want to get access to that and you want to join us in this free masterclass, then go and find the link in the show notes to register or go to motionhatch.com/pod. Hope to see you in there. Now let's get back to this episode.
A portfolio that features a lot of projects that has a really good why instead of a really good how inspires people, inspires clients.
Hey Hatchlings, welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. Hey Hatchlings, and welcome to episode 76 of the Motion Hatch podcast. On today's episode, I spoke with Felipe Vargas. He is an illustrator and animator from Chile. Felipe has gotten many opportunities from his Behance page. So we dived into how to use Behance to get more clients and how he got the opportunity to be represented by LA agency Closer and Closer. Just before we get started though, I want to ask you a question. Do you struggle to build your own portfolio website? Are you unsure what you're supposed to include in it? Well, we have a motion design portfolio checklist just for you. So if you need help with your portfolio, you can grab our free checklist at motionhatch.com/portfolio. Now let's get into the episode. Hey, Felipe, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Hayley. I love the podcast, and when we could commute still, I listen to it a lot.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that you listened to the show. That's really cool. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing illustration and animation?
I started working at the university. I fell in love with motion design. I even didn't knew it. Maybe this may tie to another question you have about like South America or Chile in specific. But it's weird because I discovered design after I left school. I come from a small town in Chile called Rancagua. It's weird because you could ask every citizen of the city and no one would really tell you what a designer does. Obviously, I know that everyone in the US and in the UK has even traveled explaining that what they do to their family, but this is like a completely different situation. Like there are no designers working, obviously, in motion graphics in Rancagua at all, which I know of. So growing up, I thought design was like interior design, like the TV reality shows that the guy comes in and arranges the face. And everybody thought about that. So if you say, wow, I like to draw. Okay, architect, no more questions. And obviously, it's linked to design now exploding in Chile. We have like a couple of new generations that are really in tune all this design, motion design work. But in the time it was, I remember like I was drawing or always was like painting murals, always was like doing stop motion films. But everybody, but you got good grades, be a doctor. I actually studied medicine like 2 years before getting into design.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like when I was in college, like all my guy friends had studied something else before going to design because it was so strange at the time. I remember falling in love. I entered, I will do interiors or I will like, you know, do illustration. I don't know. I like met this motion design class and I figured this the thing I have doing in my whole life as a child, like animating stop motion, like using Microsoft 3D Movie Maker and such. And so when I was like in fourth year, I did like a small internship at the Smog which is like my favorite studio from here. Those guys were so generous that they offered me a job while I was still studying. So I was at university half-time, and half-time I was working at this agency, which is pretty crazy in hindsight. And then I graduated and I kept working in the agency. Then I obviously become freelance.
So I just wanted to dig into a few areas because I think this is really interesting, because I imagine there's lots of people who are studying motion graphics and they want to know, like, okay, cool. Well, like, how did you get that internship? You know, how did you kind of get that first job in the industry? And did you do anything particular to get that, or was it based a lot on your work?
It's crazy because, like, I sent my application and I knew that I was let in way later, because obviously the agency is really, really busy and receiving like inquiries from students all the time. So I had no priority, obviously. But I remember I did a really like cool reel. Obviously, it's horrible now. It's dated horrible. But yeah, it's like, yeah, I just made a reel and they gave me an interview later. And yeah, smooth sailing from there.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really good. So I just wanted to ask you a bit about, you know, what is the motion design industry like in Chile? Because you kind of mentioned there wasn't really a lot of people around when you started got started. But is it growing now, or what is it like there?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say it's exploding now, right now. It's definitely different from when I entered. When I entered, there were like 20 people in total doing this thing really well. And for example, I illustrate and also animate, and there were fewer of them. But right now, there are a lot of studios doing things. When I was starting, there was like 10 studios, but it was a smaller situation, obviously. Now it's like everyone wants to be a motion designer.
Yeah. Do you think, I always wonder this, do you think it's because everyone kind of wanted to be a graphic designer and then now everyone's like, oh, now we need everything to move because of social media and stuff like that? What do you think?
I think a lot of them are graphic designers, excellent graphic artists. But when I started, the main thing that attracted me is like graphic design was already pretty well established. So you have like a chain of command, like clients have worked with graphic designers, including design teachers, like the teachers that taught you design, known all about it. So when you did animation, nobody really knew how it was done. So it was like this kind of magic box, like the early days of the internet, like when people were getting rich, making web pages. It's a really good motivation to start doing something that no one really knows how it's done, even you. That kind of mystery, or it's very attractive to especially young people, I think.
I saw you got a lot of attention on Behance. So I just wanted to talk a bit about that platform, because I don't think we talk about it a lot on the podcast. We've mentioned it a few times, but how did you get started on there? And have you seen a lot of your success and a lot of your clients come from Behance?
Absolutely. I live from Behance until now. I have like the agency now, but I have like 4 years freelancing, 100%. Or close to that, come from the internet, obviously, but I think 80% come from Behance, which is amazing. It started, well, Behance now owned by Adobe. I don't know how to pronounce it, Adobe.
Yeah, Adobe, yeah.
Yeah, in Spanish we say Adobe. It started because I did like the splash screen from Adobe Illustrator, I think.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah, the cool thing about Behance comparing to Instagram is like Behance is curated with a team. So I think they really liked me. I kind of have like this little imposter syndrome that says, oh, but there's so many cool work when yours is so elevated. But I think, yeah, I think that they like the consistency, I guess. And I like my way of solving things, I guess. I got a big bump from the Adobe Illustrator splash screen, and then it just grew and grew and grew and grew. Big up to Behance, and yeah, really helpful to those guys.
I really haven't seen like a lot of people have a lot of success in that platform. Do you think it's because your primary thing is like illustration? Like your illustration is incredible and so is your animation, but it's really visual and very colorful and things like that. Do you feel like that's what attracts people to your work?
I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really know. I will have to ask. But you know what? It could be like, and it may be a little bit of advice for someone who is posting on Behance.
Yes, please.
You have to treat it like more as a project platform instead of like an image gallery. Yeah, it's not Instagram in the way you can just show your images and write a little bit below. I think it's the text and the images like coexist. You have to give it context. You have to present it as a project and not just show like the images like in an Instagram post, but also showing you and the client the why, a little bit of context about the client, the project, obviously always giving credit where credit is due. And I think also Behance has a lot of tags that are really useful. I obviously recommend also checking another profiles, how they upload stuff. I remember it, like checking studios and checking how they presented stuff. And obviously, instead of copying them, how I will do it, right? It's very similar to MySpace, like that old website where you have limited options, but you have to play with them, right? And it's fun because Behance gives everyone the same tools. So how do you stand out? Should you make a little banner on top? Should you make the typography nice and very well put? Like all this web design, but for a platform stuff. Yeah, it really helps a lot. And also, obviously, like if someone comments and asks a question, answer back, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really like that you're talking about showing more process and things like that, because I am an advocate of that. I really like, you know, want everyone to have case studies and stuff on their website. And it seems like Behance kind of facilitates that kind of process behind the scenes case study way of presenting projects. And I just wondered if you thought that helped you to get clients because you're showing more behind the scenes and you're showing what you did on that project and things like that.
Absolutely. And adding to that, that also explains why I'm also so bad at Instagram because motion design is very tricky sometimes because like projects can last like 2 months maybe sometimes and you have these NDAs that you can't upload somewhere, something while it's being made. And I think Instagram like rewards flow, like content flow, like posting every day, for example, and posting work in progress. In my experience, like it's really hard to post work in progress for a motion design. And when the project is done, you look at it and say, okay, it aged a little bit bad. I don't want to upload it. But Behance is like an opportunity to go against the flow of social media because you can post something when it's finished and when you're absolutely certain it looks right. So nobody has like 200 posts on Behance. They have like 10 projects on Behance or 12 projects on Behance. Instead of Instagram, it's like 5,000 posts. In my life, I could post like that amount of things. Yeah, I think it lends well to motion designers for that because motion design is less projects a year, especially if you are animating them also. So yeah, I think it's a good tool for motion.
Do you think with Behance, how do you get noticed? Like, I just want to know if there's like any tips or anything more that we can give to people to help them out because I'm not as familiar with the platform as you are.
Being consistent, but also it's an advice like for like clients are always looking to minimize risk. So when they look at portfolio, if it's like, I know, this is my photography and this is my cooking and this is my my painting and these are my poems, the client says, that's nice, but where's your focus? Because they can compare it to a guy that focuses on illustration and just the way his portfolio looks, it gives the impression of someone that is committed to illustration, right? I'm not saying that you stop doing your poetry and sculpture and cooking and baking. That's incredible. But I think you could even make a separate profile for that, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I'm just looking at your Behance now and it definitely seems like you have a style and it doesn't all look the same, but then it sort of I feel like it kind of sits within the same sort of arena, if that makes sense. And I can see why a client might go here and be like, oh yeah, we can see what Felipe does. We can feel confident that if we get him to do a project, he'll produce a similar result.
Absolutely. And I also think that it's like this kind of like growth that generates growth. I obviously, when the client sees like, all these followers, all these likes and all these comments, he must be doing something right, I think. And also consistency. I don't know if I heard it from Motion Hatch, but like clients also look someone that has worked a lot of time. Maybe, for example, your work from previous years doesn't look so good now, but you have been working a lot of time and that proves you have been consistent and like you can carry on, still be carrying on. Instead, a new designer has to face that. They're like, okay, I'm cool, but how do I earn their trust, right? Yeah. Especially in South America. I think South America, although I haven't worked for them in a long time, is like this survival mentality, like how to minimize risk at all costs. Because like investing in a motion designer, especially in an expensive one, it can be a really stupid move for them. So yeah, how do you minimize it? Yeah, consistency and a clear sense of focus and purpose and context and really project focused instead of like showing your work and how cool it is, like the why of it, how it works in the real world.
I just wanted to ask you, do you have a website? Because I looked for a website and I couldn't find one. And I just wondered whether you felt like you didn't need one because you have the Behance platform and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a little embarrassing. I never made a website for myself. I started in Tumblr, then I jumped to Behance, smooth sailing from there. But you know what? It's like, I obviously read a lot about designers writing about their websites. Obviously, I do a little of web design myself, but I kind of see it. It's the same question with the motion reel. I don't have a motion reel from like way back. I don't have it. And it's really stupid. But on the other hand, my argument would be treat it as a special weapon. And I now look at websites and reels as a special weapon because I see myself in the future, in a dark future where I don't have clients all of a sudden, because I don't know what, I have that secret weapon still. Like, yeah, this, my new website with all Felipe 2.0 or my new motion reel with all my new stuff. For example, I have a lot of work that I haven't released yet. Work from 3 years back, 2 years back, because this may sound like extremely stupid for something that is social media savvy, but I trust in my gut on this. I see it as a musician getting a new album ready, right? It may sound crazy because the common knowledge is like upload always, upload often, make a connection with your audience, etc., etc. But when you do that, you also like, I think you also lost a sense of narrative or identity. It's really weird because I always compare this to music. Like a musician that uploads just singles like every day. I'm comparing like Drake to Kendrick Lamar now, but a musician that uploads a good album can make a bigger impact, especially if this guy like feels that, I feel, for example, it's not necessarily a good thing to just upload everything, right? I have like been hoarding up a lot of work that I know it's really good for a specific reason. It looks a little different from project to project, but I think it fits a narrative. So I have two options, right? Keep hoarding the work until it looks dated and old and I don't like it anymore. Or the option B would be like to plan a release. Okay, December I upload everything, for example. And I think the option C would be maybe you wait when the client rate drops a little bit or when they stop calling you for your current work. Here comes everything you don't know about me and you make your design album, so to say.
That's really interesting. I never thought of it in that way. I like the idea that it's like that thing, if you can hold some back because you've got enough clients, it's like a bit of a luxury. But you're right that if you waited and then when, you know, you had stuff to share with people when you were trying to get work, like it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk a bit about your clients, you know, and who they are. I mean, I think we've established that most of them come from Behance. Obviously, now you're repped by an agency as well, which is a pretty recent thing. So did that also come through Behance as well?
I don't really know. Lately, I've been receiving some inquiries from Instagram. I don't know. I think they saw my Behance. I think that's the most probable thing. And we have a couple of interviews. They say that we're closer and closer, and I immediately went to the website. And I saw Jerome Vogel, Colin Hesterly, Nuria Boch, and I saw all these cool designers. I said, okay, this is amazing from the start. when I saw their roster, it was extremely impressive. I thought this might be my way into this like top level design client experience. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, then we had a couple of interviews. In my mind, like an agency was like, we get you clients. Like that was it. But they have this way of working, of treating their staff and their roster that really made sense to me. And what made me really like fall in love with the concept of an agency is like they really listen. They see the world as you see it. I always see it as with like we're humans first. Like so they really care about the human part, not just dates and prices and timelines, right? I felt like a connection there. So I'm really eager to start working full time with their clients and see how it goes.
Well, you know, we should get an update from you at some point on that because I know it's a pretty new thing. So I wanted to talk a bit about where your clients came from when you started freelance and who those clients were.
Obviously, most of them come from Behance. also an art director from New York. Like, I went out and I was 3 days at freelancing, and he called me. So I immediately like jumped into it. I think it started. What's most interesting about the internet is like a huge diversity of clients came in. I am really thankful for that, because if I stayed like in the advertising bubble, I would have worked for like at most TV channels. But the most beautiful thing about the internet is like sometimes there were people coming from NGOs, non-advertising related stuff. And I really fell in love with that. I think the best client of all time that I had, I just did like 3 animations from them. A fourth one is coming next year. It's a group of scientists that come from Australia. It's like they are genome scientists. Like they have this huge scientific organization. If I could give a little bit of advice to anyone starting out as a freelance, try to test the world outside advertising, outside even TV, outside like social media advertising. Because, for example, this scientist, they never had a real maybe relationship with a motion designer. They never had an animation done. And I think that's amazing. It's like traveling back in time and being the first motion designer in the world again, which is it sounds really stupid, but when you think about it, it feels really good to be the guy that guides them through the process and like shows them the potential that this thing that we do has. And the client, when it's not from an advertising background, they start caring more. For example, these scientists, they really care that it's really understood, the message, right? That it's very clear, that it's very, instead of, okay, like this color and this color, I don't know about this, I don't know about this. They give you total freedom. They let you run wild with ideas. For example, I did this like 2 animations for a genome project, and I based my entire look on old mid-century quartains and textile design. They loved it. And they loved this. And I was like awestruck, because they don't have the budget, obviously, of huge corporations and huge advertising firms. But the scientists and NGOs and doctors, sometimes they give you a chance of running wild with total freedom. And it's like those ways you got at design school, right? That are really surreal. They're really fluid. Like no round of changes, no comments from them. Just like, we love it. Keep going. So yeah, I would totally advise, like, it's like embracing the human side of the internet. Not just getting into the corporation, getting into the advertising world, getting into the motion design, like big clients, but also like receiving these mails from people from Behance. It's weird, because Behance, I think it gives everyone the chance of being like an art director when they're searching for a designer. So I have received a lot of mails from big brands, but also from these like individual people. And they have a specific mission. For example, I worked for an NGO that was called Starting With Women. They talked about like the rights, the women's rights to property after their, for example, their husband died and to land. And you learn a lot of about stuff. You learn a lot about other realities. You learn a lot of, and you lend your, like your design powers, so to say, to a good cause most of the time. So I would totally recommend that. And Lucas saw the advertising bubble.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think people just struggle to know like how to get those kinds. But you said that most of them have emailed you because they found your portfolio in Behance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you said is totally correct. Everyone like should test, everyone in my mind, everyone should have like 2 of these clients. So yeah, if they don't come to you, maybe look at their websites, look at their work that they are producing, and maybe look in your town, especially if you are from a small town. Like every town has a social worker, every town has a social organization. Look for people that, not that people that need you, but people that who will establish a good relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the other thing, like apart from getting clients from Behance and Instagram and online, you know, I'm always talking about getting clients like in your local area, you know, like in your town or your city or your country, you know, and kind of start there, because that's definitely the easiest way to start, I think, because, you know, you have that in common and it's like a really easy thing to have in common. Like, oh, we're in the same city, like we can meet up. That's really helpful for people to know who are maybe just getting started in the industry.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Cool. So I wanted to ask you a bit about, because I know you do a bit of editorial work. Was that a conscious decision, or is that something that you kind of just fell into as well as motion design?
Yeah, it, it's like 50-50. From Behance, I received a lot of inquiries regarding illustration, just illustration. That came from magazines most of the time. But also, as an animator, sometimes you hate that you have to animate something later because you want to give it extra texture, extra shadow. You want to put it in a strange pose that you obviously, you think, how in the world I'm going to rig or animate this? Like, do you want to draw the hand like in this shape instead of this shape? You want to try a new angle, a new camera angle. So I think like the editorial work gives me a chance of exploring those things. Like, for example, drawing in a realistic style or sometimes drawing, obviously something that will never be possibly animated. I know a couple of guys that specialize like in these moving images. And for example, I know of Malika Fabre that she does this fantastic illustration. Then they get animated. It's a nice outlet to let my inner illustrator run free with crazy poses, crazy textures, crazy everything. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that because I used to animate a lot and then I'd be like, oh, I wish I could just do illustration sometimes. I think people can relate to that as well. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
So just to wrap it up, I just wanted to ask you, if there's one thing that you want the audience to take away from this episode, what would that be?
Try to find the most diverse set of situations you can find. It's obviously great to have a really focused goal and go for it. It really helps a lot. But I think maybe, for example, in a year of your career, let's work with a NGO, let's work with a small organization, let's work for free on this, let's work with this huge brand later. Like, I know that no one has all the chances and all the opportunities, but from where you can pick, where you can choose from, try to work in more roles, from more points of view, from more situations. Like, from my first year of freelance, like my whole world turned upside down, and then again, and then again, and then again, because I was like receiving inquiries from all walks of life. And also comes a huge motivation boost where you work with small clients after having worked with big clients. Like, I think it should be a cycle. The best like metaphor that comes to mind is like the doctor that works in this huge private clinic, but maintains his old clients from back then, because it keeps you real, obviously. It keeps you grounded, but also I think it gives you like a boost in motivation. Like, design was meant to solve problems for everyday people, but in most cases, like, we tend to fit in a system, right? We start working for people we know. We solve the world for them. They love us. We love them back. We produce lovely work. But maybe sometimes working in a huge chain of command, maybe we get really good at something really specific, but we sometimes lose the big picture. Like, and the big picture will be like, why I'm doing this? A portfolio that features a lot of projects that has a really good why instead of a really good how inspires people, inspires clients. And obviously, if you have your goal is like, I want to get at this level and then I branch out, it's totally fine. But I guess making it a little bit shorter is, it would be like, try to wear more hats, try to be a different kind of designer, try to expand your way of viewing work. Because when you also work, try the direct clients, because you can help them along the whole way. For example, a motion designer that works for an agency, maybe he just does animation, but you will never know how well do you write a script until you start writing scripts, or you will never know how you direct things until you redirect them, or how well are you at meetings. I know a lot of designers that are afraid and scared of giving meetings. I have a lot of friends that have never like presented a project to someone. I think that's crazy, right? That's crazy, because in design school, they all talked about projects, about needs, about how did you solve that? Why did you do this? Why did you do this that way? Everyone, like Zach Meister said, everyone should take a sabbatical, try to be different stages of this design person, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's awesome. I really like, you know, the idea that we can take one project that we do out of a few to do something for good, or like to have a positive impact on the world and things like that. And I know a lot of the audience is really passionate about that stuff too. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I just want you to let the audience know where they can find out more about you and your work.
Oh, thank you. It's Felipe Vargas on Behance Network. Just search Felipe Vargas on Instagram is Vargas Newbert. And yeah.
Yeah, we'll put it all in the show notes as well, so everybody will have access to it. So thanks so much for coming on the show. This is awesome.
No, thank you.
Thanks again to Felipe for coming on the show. That was a great episode. So if you enjoy this podcast, please do remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. And if you need help with your portfolio, remember you can go to motionhatch.com/portfolio. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end. I appreciate you. See ya.